Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
Up.
Hey.
I just like it to be known that I am drinking a Vandermill
Honeycrisp
cider
nice.
As spoken about a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, where'd you find it?
Well, this is the one that I bought in Grand Haven. I bought the toasted one and then
Totally roasted, yep.
This totally roasted, yeah, sorry. Totally roasted and then the Honeycrisp, and I bought them when we saw you guys three weeks ago now,
Yeah.
4 weeks ago
Yeah.
now. And yeah, so I thought I'd enjoy one. So,
cheers.
Nice.
I'm drinking a peach vibe Celsius.
You're still going with the summertime thing. I'm already like moving in the fall. Like Caleb, like you said, just said that it's like getting colder
yeah,
out
it's
there.
Getting
We
there.
Are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like there's a tree that's already turning, and I'm already like looking ahead at Thanksgiving. I just booked myself like a little Halloween tour. Like I'm totally embracing the fallness. I'm ready to get my sweaters out.
Yep. It's coming.
I'm almost ready. Yeah, once Vivian's back at school, I'll be ready.
And it's going to cool off dramatically when everyone goes
yeah.
back to school too. So it's
yeah.
going to feel very like this weekend is like the last
this is it.
End of the summer weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Make the best of it.
So, but anyway, let's welcome everybody in. Welcome to the High Five Podcast, where we every week pick a topic of discussion to pick our top five of. And joined with me, I'm Jay. Joined with me, as always, is Rob and Caleb. This one was kind of brought on kind of organically, this topic, as we were going through our movies that we had not seen last episode. It came up in discussion that Caleb had just seen the new Superman movie, and they were talking about how much, or he was talking about how much he liked it. And then it came up that Caleb had never seen Avengers Endgame. I think it was vice versa. We were talking about the fact that you had watched, that you'd never had seen Avengers Endgame, but then it came up that you did see Superman, that you liked it, right?
Correct. Si, senor.
And so, Rob, what did you say?
I said that we should come up with a list of the top five superhero movies, but here's the problem: is I was making my list.
Uh-huh.
Part of this initially was so that Jameson had, like, after enjoying the Superman movie, like, what direction should he go in?
Sure.
So I have some titles, but there are other titles that would probably not be appropriate for
oh, definitely.
Anyone under the age of 16, and
yep.
And then even worse yet, I have my personal top five. And Jay, I might be driving you crazy. I have honorable mentions, but I have top five DC, top five Marvel,
oh,
and top five superhero films not based
it.
In comics.
No, I love it.
So I'm gonna
I definitely
be very
had
fast.
Some of those. I definitely had some of those categories that I had to kind of come to terms with how I was going to handle them. But yeah, a lot of what I selected today are obviously ones that I like, but with Jameson in mind. So, but I will touch on some that aren't Jameson friendly or ones that Jameson would like. But I kind of weighed both a little bit with my top five. What did you do,
So really,
Caleb?
I was gonna say, so really what it comes down to is we have like six episodes that we need to do about superhero comic book movies.
Probably.
Right?
No. We're just going to get through them real fast. Like the Flash. We're going to be like lightning fast.
Yep. Yep.
So I did mine, a little bit of my favorites and with ones that I know Jameson hasn't watched. So
okay,
there's probably
okay.
like one or two maybe that I would have added to the list that I really like, but he's seen them, so I didn't put them on him. So these are
Yep.
ones that I enjoyed that he hasn't seen.
Okay.
To my knowledge that he hasn't seen. So,
okay.
And yes, I have two on my list that he probably won't watch until he's a little
older.
Bit older. So, One of them has boobies, right? So you gotta wait a little bit to see boobies.
Wait, this is a superhero film with boobies?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be interested to
I
hear
got one
what.
in mind that does.
Okay.
I had another one that had, that's an honorable mention that has boobies as well. So.
Okay. Alrighty.
I love it. All right. Well, I'd say since that was kind of our icebreaker there, just kind of talking about how we
About boobies.
how
You know
we're
how they say
gonna
that the horse is out of the barn on this one? Boy, the breast is really out of the bra on this one.
That's right. That's
Those
right.
titties are free.
I
thought
God.
this was gonna be a Jameson friendly episode.
I know,
It's
right?
fine. He
Not
can hear those words.
anymore. I
I
guess
guess
this
this
is
is
his.
his.
I told him on the way home from soccer that sometimes you gotta bust a nut, like, and run real hard. So, he's used to things. So he's fine.
All right. Cool. Well, I'd say let's jump into it then. Do we want to talk about how we like any ground rules, or are we just say in any direction we wanted to go with it?
We don't have ground rules. Come
We don't
on.
have ground rules. The rules are there are no rules.
Yep.
So Rob, this was your topic, so do you want to start off with your number five?
I will. All right, so my number five is not a Jameson appropriate. Maybe when he's 16. It is Constantine. It is the
Ooh, okay.
ni
Yep.
2005. It's a supernatural superhero film based on John Constantine, the Hellblazer from DC Vertigo, originally a character spun off from Swamp Thing, starring Keanu Reeves. There is discussion that there may be a sequel for this movie. Now, why is this movie probably not appropriate for a 14-year-old? Well, it begins with the suicide of a character, and there's exorcisms, and but I'll tell you, it is like the best superhero or supernatural noir that I've seen in a while. Like the TV show Angel, I think tried to be supernatural noir in LA. Keanu Reeves Constantine, I think, did it better. It has great performances by Rachel Weisz and Tilda Swinton. It is a beautiful film to look at. You can overlook the fact that Shia LaBeouf is in it. But yeah, number five is Constantine.
Nice.
I didn't that had Keanu Reeves in it, right?
Yeah.
So I'd not see that. No.
A lot of people at first didn't like that version of Keanu Reeves. Even myself, when I saw it in 2005, didn't like it because Constantine, when Alan Moore created that character, is supposed to look like Sting, right? This is the
Oh.
1980s. And so when Constantine first appears in the comic books, he's supposed to look like Sting. He's supposed to be from Liverpool. And
The
Keanu
singer
Reeves,
Sting? Is that what you're talking about?
yep, the singer Sting,
Okay.
yep.
Okay.
And Keanu Reeves obviously did not do a British accent. He got dark hair. He does not look like Sting. So initially, I think a lot of people kind of were a little upset in the direction of that. But then if you just sort of watch it as a movie as its own, it's a solid movie. Now, there was a Constantine TV show starring Matt Ryan, and he definitely had to look. I actually haven't had a chance to see that yet. But the Keanu Reeves movie is that's one of those ones that I could throw on in the background anytime. It is gorgeous to look at. I really do hope they make a sequel. If you watch the Sandman series on Netflix, because it's being produced outside of DC, the character of John Constantine was transformed into the character Joanna Constantine. It's a distant relative of John Constantine that was introduced earlier. But yeah, he's just a really cool character. He's an anti-hero. He kind of plays both sides. Heaven hates him, hell hates him. And he's always sort of fighting for the little guys, very blue collar kind of superhero. So, a very, very good movie to check out, especially as we approach the Halloween season.
Cool. All right, so
Nice.
that was your number five. My number five is I think it would be Jameson friend. It definitely is Jameson friendly. This is one that came out when I was 16 years old in 1997. It's Men in Black with Will Smith,
Oh.
Tommy Lee
Oh, yeah.
Jones. So like it's kind of outside the box as far as comic book. but it is a comic book movie. And it's just one of those where I've always loved this series. Will Smith is obviously kind of the main character in it, and it's kind of a world within our own world sort of situation where we have aliens living among us in disguise, and there's this corporate or this part of the government that is in charge of keeping the aliens in check on Earth, and that's the Men in Black. It's just there's rides that are based on it at theme parks. There are all kinds of other sorts of IPs that go with it. And it's just such a fun way to look at the world, and love the soundtrack that Will Smith and has had songs on it, and just a good movie series. So Men in Black, my number five.
Nice.
Yep.
So my number five is also not Jameson appropriate. I think there's boobies in it, or it's just one of the main characters you can see his penis. I can't remember. It's one of the other or both. I don't remember. And it's the
I'm
Watchmen.
shaking my head. For
The
everybody who's
what?
not watching, able to see this, I am definitely shaking my head at this. Okay. All
Yeah.
right. I can't wait to hear what movie this is.
The Watchmen. Do you remember the
Oh, the
movie, The
watch.
Watchmen? Yeah.
Oh,
There's definitely
okay.
a blue alien penis in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's boobies, because there's a sex scene, I'm pretty sure, if
Yeah,
I
I think
remember.
you're
I haven't
right.
seen it in a little bit, but
Yeah.
yeah, it's a great, fun movie. It's different. It's not something, I mean, it's a DC one, obviously. It's one of, I don't know if it's Zack Snyder's first comic book movie or not, but I know it's one of his earlier ones. And
It's one
yeah,
of
I
his
just,
first superhero films, yeah.
yeah. And I just think it just kicks off. I think it's a great storyline. Visually, it's incredible. I really loved it, and it was one of the earlier ones that I can remember going to and enjoying and watching. And even got the I don't have it anymore. I got rid of it, but I actually had the comic book after I watched the movie, because I thought I would be interesting to learn more about the characters and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, so The Watchmen would be my number five.
Good one. Yeah. I remember liking that one, and didn't it like not do well in the box office? I feel like
It
it
kind of
got
did
a,
okay. Yeah,
it
it
did
was critically
okay.
well received. It was okay.
That's what I, yeah.
I'll tell you, that's actually one of my favorite comic books ever. They're technically not DC characters. It's a really interesting history. DC actually bought a bunch of different publishers over time, and they bought Quality
Okay.
Comics. And Alan Moore originally wanted to base these characters on the Quality Comics superheroes that were being unused. So we're talking Captain America, who becomes Dr. Manhattan. We're talking Blue Beetle, who becomes Owlman, talking Phantom Lady, who becomes Silk Spectre. So all of these great characters, they have these analogs. The Watchmen series, that was how DC kind of lost Alan Moore after it was published. It was one of those situations where the rights never turned over to him because they kept kind of merchandising it, and of course, is why that book has always been in print. But it is a very great series. It's a little bleak, a little nihilistic, but it's kind of taking a look at, and in fact, the comedian is based on Peacemaker, who has his own TV show now on HBO. But it is a great comic book series.
Yeah, and it's crazy too. Like the movie, I mean, there really isn't any big name actors or anything in it. You know what I mean? I mean, Jeffrey Dean Morgan's probably the biggest well-known person in the movie, but
Billy Crudup. Yeah, Billy Crudup and Patrick Wilson, I would say. Patrick Wilson went on to The Patrick
Conjuring,
Wilson.
right?
Yep. But yeah,
So,
not
yeah.
huge.
No. Nope.
Cool. All right, so that was your number five. Rob, what was your number four?
My number four is in total direct opposite of Watchmen. Totally Jameson appropriate. No boobies. No penis.
Well, it's not worth it then.
It is. Oh, it's totally worth it. It is a movie that gave us the great line, "Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb." and it is
Oh.
Batman the Movie 1966. Now, this was filmed after the first season of Batman with Adam West and Burt Ward.
Yeah.
It features all four villains: the Joker, Cesar Romero, who refused to shave off his mustache, so they just painted white on top of his mustache. Also, a homosexual actor that I believe kind of leads to the whole thing that Alan Moore does in The Killing Joke, with this sort of maybe possible sort of romance between Batman and Ro or Batman and the Joker, right? Like it's, and then the Lego Batman movie really leaned hard into it, and I don't mean like a direct romance, but it's coded in the sense of like they're soulmates that can't live without each other, right? Lee Merriweather steps in for Julie Newmar for the Catwoman, Burgess Meredith, of course, as the Penguin, and Frank Gorshin as the Riddler. I love this movie. It's got back shark repellent. It's got, I mean, it's just got hijinks galore. And that whole sequence of Batman running around a pier with the bomb, trying not to kill the nuns, trying not to kill the Dutch, trying not to kill the marching band, trying not to kill the lady with the baby stroller. I mean, it is, I think the Batman series, I loved it as a kid, then I hated it as a teenager and a young adult, and now I love it again because it is just so fun and funny and so camp and bright. The whole Batman series originally was produced in a way to sell color TVs. It's partly why the color palette is so big, and why my favorite thing is the meme where you'll see a picture of Adam West that says, "I will punch you so hard, words will appear in the air." I mean, I love everything about Batman the TV series, but I especially love Batman the movie.
So it's just called Batman the Movie, or
Batman the movie from 1966.
okay.
Never seen
Cool.
it.
I want to watch it. I'm sure I've
Oh.
seen parts of it at least, but
I mean, I've seen the show, like I've seen episodes of the
definitely
show,
the
but
show, yeah.
I've never seen the movie.
It's the movie on absolute like LSD. It's just, I mean, it's a TV show. It's the TV show on LSD. It's just, it's great. It's wonderful.
Speaking of Adam West, Rob, last night we watched the movie Drop Dead Gorgeous. The one with, I mean, who did it? It had what's her name in it? Denise Richards, and then it had like three or four big names in it.
Isn't it
Wasn't it
Reese
Kirsten?
Witherspoon in it?
No, I thought it was Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten
Oh, Lady
Dunst is
Kirsten
the
Dunst.
main character,
That's
and
right.
then there was a young who's the Amy Adams? Adie Adams was one of the
Brittany
other
Murphy, Ellen
Brittany
Barkin,
Murphy, yes.
Kirstie Alley,
Kirstie
Allison
Alley,
Janney.
yes.
I
Oh
remember.
my gosh. And Adam West played like this beauty pageant host, and it was so
He
I
plays
immediately
himself.
thought of it. Yes, he plays himself. And all these like teenage girls are hitting on him, and it was so cringe. It was, oh my gosh. But it was like perfectly a movie of its time for sure.
I haven't seen that movie in forever.
Oh my gosh. I had never seen it, and Katie made us it we've been doing movie night every week, and so Katie got to pick the movie yesterday, and that was the one. It was
Nice.
actually,
So
yesterday.
I know that Batman the movie, like I said, is kid appropriate, doesn't have boobies or penis. But our friend Denise did send me this story, and I had heard this before. It's kind of apparently, like a few years ago, like Variety had published this whole article. They were talking about like the Harley Quinn animated series on HBO, and like how they had to kind of censor a few things about, Batman doesn't do oral sex or whatever. There's this whole story, and I'm going to read it right now. I think one of my favorite memories is that Frank and I being Adam West, were invited to a party one night. We decided to go, a Hollywood party we didn't know anything about. We were kind of laughing and having a few beers and said, "Let's go over there." We walked in, dot, 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 and it was an orgy. So I immediately went into the Batman character, and Frank went into the Riddler character because we were getting the big giggles. It was funny to us what we walked into, and then we were kicked out. We were expelled from the orgy.
Oh my God. Is that a real story?
It's
Oh
kind
my
of it
gosh.
appears this is that's those are Adam West's words alone, right? Like talking directly, right? And then Frank Gorshin's like, I can't remember this, so he was probably like high or a drug, right? I mean, obviously, if you're gonna play Batman and the Riddler at an orgy, but I had to just share that story for anyone
Oh
who
my
hadn't heard
gosh.
that one before.
That is awesome.
Nice.
I mean, everyone's got to love the swinging 60s, right?
It definitely was, wasn't it? All right, so that was your number four. My number four is came out in 2010, starred Michael Cera, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Kieran Culkin, Chris Evans, Brie Larson, Aubrey Plaza, Jason Schwartzman, and directed by Edgar Wright. This is Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It's rated PG-13. It does have some innuendo in it, but this type of movie is perfectly up the alley of a 13-year-old boy. I think this is definitely one that Jameson needs to see. It's this hyper stylized action rom-com with like visual, the same sort of things you're talking about from the Batman movies and TV show. The visuals on the screen, but more in a video game structure. Is just beautiful, inventive, just a lot of visual things that were just so revolutionary for their time. And then jokes, it's just like so many, so much dry humor and just so much just like funny, just chef's kiss for this whole movie. And then it in fact has a sequel that's an animated version of it, which is awesome. And there's a video game as well that I've not played, but I've heard it's awesome as well. So, but yeah, this is my number four, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Great choice.
Yep.
Nice.
Have you seen this, Caleb?
I've seen parts of it. I don't think I've seen it all the way through.
Yep.
But yeah, I've definitely seen parts of it for sure.
Yep.
I think I
So.
started watching it and I think something came up and we stopped, but yeah.
It's the
All right,
sort of
so
movie that you couldn't really watch it casually. Like you'd have to be, there's a lot going on.
sure, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But cool. What's your number four?
So my number four came out in 2004. Probably, maybe Jameson appropriate. It's relatively violent, but it'd probably be okay. They've done a couple different versions of it, but I love the 2004, The Punisher. I loved that movie. I thought it was great. I thought, so Thomas Jane is Frank Castle. John Travolta is the bad guy, of course. Ben Foster's in it as one of the neighbors. And I don't know. I really enjoyed the film. I thought it was, entertaining, lots of action. Also, I enjoyed that the Punisher is like just a normal dude who can get beat up and then has to kind of recover. He doesn't have, no superpowers, just kind of a FBI, former FBI agent whose family is murdered and he seeks revenge. So, yeah, it's a great movie. I loved it. I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember, I think I watched it several times back in the day, and just really enjoyed it. So
Well, and the character
that's my number
formally
four.
entered the MCU with Jon Bernthal in the Daredevil series, right? Jon Bernthal's Punisher, it plays the Punisher and shows up in the Daredevil series that was on Netflix and is now on Disney Positive.
Yep. And then there's the Punisher TV show now too, that's on Disney Positive. And then there was a
So that
Punisher, I
must
think, in
be,
the
yeah, the
60s, I
Jon
think.
Bernthal. Oh, okay. All right.
So, but yeah.
That's a good one. I've never seen it. Never seen Punisher. Should I?
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the other ones. I haven't seen the newer one or anything like that. The only one that I saw was this one from 2004, and I really liked it. Oh, I forgot it has Rebecca Romijn Stamos in it too.
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay, I'll watch
No
it.
boobies though, sorry.
Oh.
It's not worth it then, right?
Still shaking my head.
All right, Rob, what's your number three?
All right, my number three is Jameson appropriate. We got to get off this nihilism streak here. Like,
Yeah.
Jay, you're picking some things that are arguably comic book movies, but not superhero movies. And Caleb, for something that was supposed to revolve around your kid, you picked
Very, very
Watchmen and The
violent.
Punisher. So really dark choices. So coming off of my number three is also a 2004 film, and it is Pixar's The Incredibles. It is everything the Fantastic any Fantastic Four movie ever wished it was. It was written and directed by Brad Bird, who also did The Iron Giant about 5 years
Yes,
earlier,
great
which is an
movie.
incredible film. Yeah, this is, Craig T. Nelson, Holly Hunter, Sarah Vowell, Jason Lee, Samuel L. Jackson, right? Like they all, no capes, famously, right? This was just a fun movie. This is actually one of the best superhero things ever. Probably my top superhero film that's not based on a comic book franchise. Like I said, every Fantastic Four movie ever wishes it was this cool, and there are two of them. And I would easily go see a third if they ever made one. So my number three is The Incredibles.
Yeah, the only reason that is not on my list is because Jameson has seen it. So he's seen both of them, obviously. Yeah, they're great movies, both of them.
I really enjoy them. My only diss on the franchise is I get sick on their ride at Disneyland.
No. Okay.
It's good. I did not include The Incredibles, but I think I think they're definitely in my honorable mention. So, yeah. Cool. All right, so that was your number three. My number three. I'm finally gonna make you happy, Rob. This
Okay.
is a comic book movie.
It's a Guardian of the Galaxy, isn't
Not yet.
it?
this is the only one of my movies that you need to have prerequisite watching for. And this is the one that you brought up last week, having not seen Caleb, and this is Avengers Endgame.
Okay.
So you'll need to watch Avengers. What's the previous one?
Age of Ultron.
No, it's why am I blanking?
Oh. Oh,
Infinity War.
yeah.
So Avengers Infinity War is basically the part one to this part two, and they're both really long movies, but they're both incredible movies. It's got Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Mark Ruffalo, Jeremy Renner, and everybody else. Just epic, emotional, just they get you at just the right moments. And it's just part of you knows that, yeah, this is the big money grab. This is the big culmination of the MCU. They perfectly plan this, and so, but in the end, it pays off. And how often are we lucky enough to see something like this pay off? So,
That's true.
I put this in my top five for sure because it lived up to what it said it was going to do. So. That's my
Yeah,
number
that was
three.
definitely an incredible. That's like one of those few movies where you're kind of grateful for being in a crowd, right? In a full theater. And you're right, like you have to give them props for pulling it off, and it was very incredibly well done, right? It was ironic that it was released just before COVID. And then I think the MCU technically is like a few years ahead of us in the real world because like the 5 years later thing with the snap and everything else. So it's just kind of funny that between movies is sort of the 2020 in our world where everybody was separated and
Yeah, it's kind of a parallel. Yeah.
And this all happened before, like right before. So.
Cool. So there you go, Caleb. You got to see these
Okay.
movies.
I know. We'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get there.
All right. So what was your number three?
So my number three came out in 2008. It is probably my favorite origin story movie. Any guesses? 2008 origin story
Iron
movie.
Man.
You got it. Iron
I
Man.
was gonna say, yeah.
Yep, I loved Iron Man. I thought it was great. I thought Robert Downey Jr. is incredible. Obviously, Jon Favreau's in it. Gwyneth Paltrow, Jeff Bridges is very good as well. Terrence Howard. Yeah, it's one of my favorite ones.
This is when the MCU really was back on the
Kicked
map,
off.
right, Rob?
Yeah, I yep,
Yeah.
yep. I think it
There
kind
was The
of set it
Incredible
on the
Hulk before with Edward
path.
Norton, but it didn't really launch, and so then it was definitely Robert Downey Jr.'s.
Yep.
And fun fact, Caleb, Robert Downey Jr. plays Iron Man in other movies like
I know
Avengers.
that. I know that.
So if you
I've
really
seen him in
enjoy
other
this
movies.
movie, you can have more of what you enjoyed.
I've seen two and three, I believe. Because isn't let me see. I think I've seen two and three.
Well, Avengers
Yes, I
1
have.
is Avengers. Avengers 2 of Age of Ultron. Captain America: Civil War kind of serves as Avengers 3, but technically Infinity War is number 3, and then Endgame is number 4.
Yeah, so I loved Iron Man. I thought it was a great storyline. I liked, again, seeing how Iron Man came about. I liked how, it talks about him just building this in a cave, building the suit or idea in a cave. And, I don't know. I think it's one of my favorite Marvel movies, and it's one of my favorite origin stories for sure. So.
Cool,
Very cool
cool.
choice.
Yeah, very cool choice. I actually
All
never
right.
saw Iron Man 2. It's funny. I saw Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 3, but I never somehow something was going on in my life and I missed Iron Man 2, and then I just never went back
Got
to
back
it.
to
Yeah.
It happens. It happens. All right, so that was your number 3, Caleb. Rob, what was your number 2?
My number 2 is also not kid appropriate. It may also have a penis.
May.
I think it does. I'm trying to remember. But it's Watchmen, the TV series. So it
Oh.
is actually the continuation of Watchmen altogether, its original story. Watchmen is a movie, or sorry, Watchmen is a story I think exists best in the comic book because it was written
Sure.
about the comic book movie. And that was my experience watching the film, and I kind of held back on talking about this when you brought it up earlier. Watchmen is a film. I realize that sometimes you have to enjoy these things in the medium within their way they're written
Sure.
or told, right? Particularly in terms of the visuals and things. And the movie doesn't quite capture it. But the TV show takes that premise, they take that very idea, and instead of trying to be a comic book or instead of trying to be a film, they actually make it a TV show. And so there's, just like in the comic book, there's these Tales of the Black Freighter kind of back matter material that's actually kind of illuminating some of the themes that are happening in the main story. They do something similar as like a parody on like American Horror Story with American Hero. They introduce some newer characters, and yet they have also some of the classic Watchmen characters. Jean Smart plays the Silk Spectre as an adult. It's Jean Smart, it's Don Johnson, it's Regina King. It is a phenomenal series. And for many people, including myself, I'm sorry to say this, this 2019 series is actually the first time I've ever really understood that something happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was never taught to me in my books.
Interesting.
It happens in the pilot episode, and there's a sort
Yeah.
of a thematic resonance of a baby swaddled and put into a thing, much like in the Superman mythos.
Yep.
It is written by Damon Lindelof, who created The Leftovers and Lost. Jeff Jensen, who used to do Lost recaps for Entertainment Weekly, was on the writing staff. It is a phenomenal movie. It really touches on a lot of the themes that went unspoken in the comic book series and in the film, particularly about white supremacy. And now you have a secret police, the Seventh Cavalry, who's walking around and wearing mask. And again, this is all in 2019. And I just think it's a phenomenal series. I was really reticent to even start the series or watch the series because I kind of thought it was a cynical cash grab. And it was continuing on this Watchmen thing, in some
Right.
ways perpetrating
That's what it
this
seemed
abuse
like.
of an author. But they actually did something really great with it and elevated the material, both the comic book and the film, with this entirely new story that I thought was really, really well done and had something very interesting to say.
Okay.
It's just
Well,
one season, right?
it's
They
just one
didn't do,
season, so it's
that's
not
what I
even
thought.
really, it's hard to kind of call it a
Like a
TV
mini series.
series. Yeah, I mean, it's a miniseries, but it's definitely written episodically as a TV show. I mean, it definitely knows that it's a TV show and it's written for a TV show, whereas a lot of these one season shows really are just the miniseries game, right? But yeah, my number 2 choice is Watchmen from 2019 on HBO Max. Phenomenal series.
Okay. It's a good one. Got me intrigued. Now, if that's your number two, I probably need to check it out. All right, my number two, also a comic book movie. This one came out in 2014. This is probably my favorite, definitely my favorite MCU, definitely my favorite Marvel piece of IP. We got some rides at Disney that I love, and
This has got to
that's
be Guardians.
Guardians of
Yeah,
the Galaxy. Chris
it
Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Bradley Cooper, Vin Diesel, and directed by James Gunn. Comedy forward, space opera, A plus soundtrack. They bring in these 70s and 80s rock songs and kick butt, kick alien butt while cranking these pieces of music on AirPod or iPods and Sony Walkmans, and it just brings you back to the 80s and 90s, being a kid, putting your headphones on and doing your chores while playing your favorite music. And so yeah, this one hit my family at the right time. My whole family loves Guardians of the Galaxy. We love the characters. We get to meet them at the parks and talk to them and share back insider jokes that you because the series, you could be like, oh, where's Groot at? Or you could actually talk to the characters and have fun conversation with them. But it's just one of those that I feel like because I got into comic books so late in life, I always felt like someone else was the Superman person or someone else was the Batman person. And so when this series came out, I felt like I was able to really adopt it as my own. And so I think that's why this one always held a special spot in my heart. Oh, the other thing is there's a great video game too that came out for Xbox that I loved, called Guardians of the Galaxy. And so and that one was pretty special to me too. So yeah, that's my number two, Guardians of the Galaxy. You should definitely see it, and Jameson should see it too. PG-13.
He's seen that. He's seen the
Okay.
first one. He
Okay,
hasn't
good.
seen the other two, but
Yeah, number two is also great. Number
that's the one with Kurt
three,
Russell, right? As the
yes.
living planet.
Yes.
I don't think I ever
Yep.
saw number three. Is number three the
Number
one
th
that was like abusive to an
Yeah,
animal?
number three is kind of the backstory of Rocket, and so you kind of they basically did tests, basically the whole Wolverine or Deadpool, thing where they do the scientific, tests on them to make them superhuman and stuff. Same thing with Rocket, except it's a raccoon, and so for whatever reason, it's worse when it's an animal and not a human. So it was hard for Katie and Vivian to watch. I didn't like watching it either, but aside from that, it's actually a really good movie, but it really does taint the movie, and it definitely affected the reviews, I think. So
Okay.
yeah. If you don't love one and two, I wouldn't necessarily need to see three, but yeah, what did I say? If you love one and two, you should see three. But if you didn't necessarily love them, then one and two, would be
Yeah, somehow I
totally
skipped it.
enough.
I've seen one and two
Oh
and then a holiday special.
yeah, holiday special is
Right?
awesome.
So I don't know.
Yeah,
It's funny. I think
Kevin
sometimes like
Bacon.
with what was her name? Manta? No.
Mantis.
Mantis, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love her.
So
Yeah.
that's actually one that you could watch, knowing that you'd seen episode one. I think you could probably watch the Christmas special, and it's like a what is it, 15 minutes,
50.
maybe.
Yeah, 50.
Is it
Yeah.
50? It's like a mini movie then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they kind of go on a special mission to get Star Lord a Christmas present or something like that
And
because
it's
he's
Kevin
alone,
Bacon.
and it's Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. Got to bring home the bacon.
So yeah, that's my number two, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Caleb, what's your number two?
My number two, this is my final and favorite Marvel movie, and my favorite origin story movie came out in 2018, and it is The Black Panther. I loved that movie. I thought it was incredible. I thought Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther does an incredible job. Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger is incredible. The whole cast, I don't know. That movie to me was awesome. I loved the story of Wakanda and kind of this hidden village within Africa that has all of this technology and all that. I think it's a great movie. I loved, again, the plot was great, the acting. I didn't know anything, to be honest, about Black Panther before this. I had no idea. I'd never seen the comic book. I've never, didn't know anything about it. So, it really was, learning a whole new character, characters, country, village, everything was new to me. So, and I thought they did an incredible job making it too. I thought Ryan Coogler was, did an excellent job. So it's my number two for sure.
Yep. Solid. Okay. So that was your number two. Let's go to our number ones. Rob, what was your number one?
Well, I am a DC guy. I know everything about DC comics. I can look at an artist that drew Superman and tell you which artist drew that Superman. You could have like 10 different Superman in front of me and I could identify all the artists. But my number one is not a DC movie. My number
Okay.
one is Black Panther.
Nice.
It is not a character that I know very well, but here's why I think Black Panther is actually stands out among the superhero films. It manages to avoid the trope of the hole in the sky, a ship coming out of a hole, and everyone having to plug the hole and return the ship. If you look at the Avengers, it's
Sure.
all this Centauri coming out of the sky. If you look at, I mean, every movie, like even they all have this element to it, and it drives me nuts because essentially these superheroes are plumbers. Stopping a flood, right? Here's what makes Black Panther different. The villain has a point. The villain was right. Killmonger was right. Ryan Coogler wrote this in a way where is this follows the best of like dramatic storytelling structure. So it's all drama. But if a character goes through a conflict and changes, it's considered a comedy. And if a character goes through a conflict and doesn't change, it's considered a tragedy. It's all drama, right? Although we tend to, on Blockbuster, there's a shelf for comedy and a shelf for drama, but really, it would be that's probably because the word tragedy wouldn't sell. But even though Prince of Tides definitely falls in the category of tragedy, so Black Panther's great because the hero goes through a conflict with the antagonist. The antagonist has a point, and then the hero comes out of that conflict changed and seeing the antagonist's point of view. So Black Panther ends up opening up Wakanda and opening up the technology and sharing it to better the world, and particularly to have better black representation. But in certain urban cities, they end up opening these things in LA and what have you. But I think Black Panther is great for those two reasons. One, it avoids the hole in the sky trope. And two, the villain actually has a point and changes the hero. The interaction and the plot conflict with the hero causes the hero to do something differently. And I think that makes it one of the finest superhero stories ever captured on film.
It's a bummer they're not going to make more, or that Chadwick isn't with us anymore.
Very
But how
good.
lucky we were to have it, right?
That's for sure. Cool. All right. So that was your number one. My number one came out in 2018. It's an animated movie, and it is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. This, when I saw
Jameson
this movie,
appropriate.
Jameson appropriate. Have you guys seen this?
I have not, but I've heard nothing but incredible things about it.
Yeah. So I went in thinking, oh, yeah, this looked really cool and looked kind of funny, had a cool soundtrack. And I was just blown away by the visuals. It's just so, such, and you, if you could see it on a big, movie theater screen, that's a bonus. But like, even, watching it, obviously you have to have a good TV, and if you have good sound, that's even better. But like, it's just one
Well,
of
the
those
visuals, but
visually.
also the storytelling too. Miles Morales is a great Spider-Man, another kind of tragic figure in a way.
I mean, it just reinvents this story in a really fresh way. It introduces us into the second movie, kind of introduces us into this new thing that the whole Spider-Verse is doing with the Spider-Verse. It's just, beautiful soundtrack, beautiful score, awesome storyline with the story of Miles Morales and how he became the Spider-Man in this universe. And then also introduces what is it, Spider, is it Gwen?
Spider-Gwen, yeah.
Spider-Gwen, and just really some cool stories that, just needed to be told. And it just opens this part corner of the comic book universe in a really exciting direction because of this technology that we have to be able to like make beautiful films like this. But yeah, just all around, just chef's kiss, the perfect comic book movie in my mind that I would recommend this to anybody who has any outside interest in comic book movies. Yeah. So that's my number one.
Nice.
Caleb, just leaves you.
Yeah, so my number one came out in 2008. So when I was growing up, the only comic book movie or character that I
Is this
ever
Green
watched
Lantern?
or paid attention to was Batman, the original, or so Batman with
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, thank you. I keep I was
Yes.
blanking on his name. So like those movies, like those were the first comic book movies I ever watched that I remembered. I even remember watching the ones with George Clooney. So Batman was always, out of all of the comic book movies I watched, those were the ones that I grew up watching and can remember and have seen pretty much all of them, good or bad. So Batman always has kind of held a special place in my heart, but my favorite Batman movie by far is The Dark Knight. I love The Dark Knight. It is one of my favorite movies, not comic book superhero, doesn't matter, just movie in general. I think it's an incredible movie. I think the acting in it, I mean, I think Heath Ledger's performance as Joker is one of the best villain portrayals ever. I've always liked Christian Bale as Batman. I think he does a good job. Gary Oldman has always been, one of my favorite. I think Aaron Eckhart does awesome as Harvey Dent. I just think the casting, everything about The Dark Knight, storyline, plot, everything, it's great. I just, it's like I said, Batman has always kind of held a special place in my heart. I wouldn't consider myself like a DC person. I probably lean more towards Marvel, but Batman has always just been one of my favorites, and this is by far my favorite Batman movie.
Solid choice.
Love it.
One thing I want to say about that Dark Knight is this was 2008. It's kind of coming out around time of like, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan still going on, right? And just about 7 years after 9/11 and all this stuff. So everyone tried to kind of talk about how the Joker is an agent of chaos and terrorism, right? So we were just having this discussion this past weekend with our friend Denise and Lene, and they were saying the same thing, that the Joker is just this force of chaos and you can't plan and that the system's just broken anyway, so you should laugh at it, right? And then I wanted to, so I kind of brought up the point though, that's the big lie of the movie. Because the Joker actually plans even more than Batman. Look at the opening sequence of The Dark Knight and the bank heist and how much
Yeah,
planning
sure.
and
Oh, yeah.
coordination and everything that had to happen in order for all of that to go just right.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the lie of the film. It's sort of like the, and it's an open secret. It's right there in the very beginning. He actually really isn't a force of chaos. And at the end, he's still a bad guy because he's trying to get two boats to blow each other up, right? And it's only the fact that he was depending on humanity's darkness to you know, and instinct for survivalism to result in death. And yet, humanity's greatest superpower is the ability to collaborate and communicate. And it is the only way through a lot of these conflicts. And so I just thought it was really interesting that sometimes you watch that thing and it's like, well, wait a second here. That's not really what's actually happening. And so The Dark Knight is a phenomenal film. And like you said, not even just a superhero film or anything. It's a phenomenal film.
Well, and I even love the ending where like Batman takes on as like I'll be the bad guy. Let Harvey Dent, you know, we need that symbol of hope and of truth. And if it's Harvey Dent, that's fine. You know, I'll take the fall for that. Like even that, like, you know, he becomes kind of the anti-hero. But yeah, I don't know. I love that movie.
The third movie that Christopher Nolan was supposed to have done, I mean, Heath Ledger, of course, passed away in 2013, 2014.
Yeah, something like that.
What was supposed to happen, right? Because the Harvey Dent character, Two-Face, dies. The Joker does not. The third movie was supposed to be kind of like a Silence of the Lamb, where the Joker is at Arkham Asylum and is kind of leading clues to Batman. To catch the next antagonist. And I'm not quite sure I remember who it was supposed to be, but the Joker character was not supposed to go away after the first film, which so it's kind of like Chadwick Boseman in Black Panther. It's just a shame that these things
That
happen.
happened. Yeah. Yeah.
That movie, if you would have asked me, pre MCU era, because not all of my top five were MCU movies. That would have been my number two. Just incredible movie. Just it hit us like it was one of those revolutionary movies in 2008. While we're on the topic of The Dark Knight, this is one of the 50 movies in my Blu-ray set that we were talking about last week.
The
I
Dark Knight
pulled it
is?
up. The Dark Knight is one
Interesting.
of those.
Which includes Casablanca that Jay has not seen yet.
Casablanca. So
The
I
Wizard
had
of
no
Oz, which
excuse.
The Wizard of Oz, which Todd has not seen. Singing in the Rain, God, no, it didn't
Singing in
include
the Rain.
Godfather. The
Streetcar Named
Matrix,
Desire, which we do not
Streetcar
need to
Named
see.
Desire, which you said, but I said don't really skip, so you can skip that one.
Willy Wonka.
By the way, Treasure of Sierra Madre is in that collection. Phenomenal
Yes.
film. It
Saw
doesn't
that one.
include Robin Hood, which sort of surprises me. The Adventures of Robin Hood is one of Warner Brothers' famous films, particularly the silhouette fight sequence in the swords in the castle. Errol Flynn. I'm really surprised that it was not included in that collection. But
But Inception was, which is a great movie. Great movie.
yes.
What about honorable mentions? Anybody else?
I do. Okay, so I'm going to go through 15 honorable mentions that I have not yet mentioned. All right. So if you wanted to know all the great DC projects to show Jameson, all of these would be kid appropriate. Number five, The Dark Knight. Number four, Batman: Mask of the Phantasm. Number three, My Adventures with Superman. Number two, Batman: The Animated Series. You might say I'm cheating a little bit because that's two entries on the top five because they're both sort of the same with Mask of the Phantasm, but I count of them as two different entries. Number one, Justice League Unlimited. If Jameson really enjoyed seeing Superman and really enjoys seeing just the sort of the full breadth of the DC characters and wants to bypass all the origin stories, Justice League Unlimited is a fantastic story. And
Is that a TV series? What is that?
it is a TV series. Ironically, the top four out of the five that I just listed are all animated series. DC does a much better job of animation than it does with live action. And Justice League Unlimited, actually, the way they do the Dark Side story is even better than how Avengers did the Thanos story. So I would just tell you that if you guys are feeling the DC thread and you want to pull that thread, you can skip. There's a TV series called Justice League. These are all based on Batman the Animated Series, the Dinnyverse, as they call it, and Superman the Animated Series. You can skip all those. There's only three seasons of Justice League Unlimited. Fantastic series. All right. Those are my great DC projects. Those were the five: Dark Knight, Mask of the Phantasm, My Adventure of Superman, Batman the Animated Series, and Justice League Unlimited. Now, my great Marvel stories. Number five, Spider-Man 2, directed by Sam Raimi. This is the one
Yep.
with Dr. Octopus,
Oh, yeah.
who later appears in number four, all the Tom Holland Spider-Man films. The last one
Yep.
includes Dr. Octopus in it. But the
Yep.
Tom Holland Spider-Man films are all great. Number three, Thor Ragnarok, I think is one of the best. You can skip Thor one. You can
I've
skip
seen
Thor
Thor
two.
Ragnarok. It's good.
Three
Yeah.
is fantastic. Number two, Captain America, Winter Soldier. Number one, maybe this is recency bias, but I thought it was a fantastic miniseries. And it's not going to have another season. It is Agatha all along, down the road, down the Witch's Road. I would say that that was a fantastic series, great storytelling, great showcase of female talent. So those are my Marvel picks. Now, my great superhero stories not based on comic books. Number five, Darkman, also written and directed by Sam Raimi, who did Spider-Man 2, just mentioned earlier. Number four, after the Michael Keaton Batman became a super hit, Disney tried to get into the superhero game with a great, fantastic film called The Rocketeer. Highly recommend it.
I remember that.
Number
Yep.
three, Unbreakable by M. Night Shyamalan. Number two, Incredibles
Yes.
2, because I couldn't list The Incredibles again, but Incredibles 2 is great. But then number one is Brad Bird's other project, Iron Giant, which is sort of a love letter to
Yes.
Superman. Iron Giant, which has the voice of Jennifer Aniston. Iron Giant is a fantastic film. So those are my top five superhero films not based on comics. Number five, Dark Man, Rocketeer, Unbreakable, Incredibles 2, and Iron Giant.
Nice.
There you go. All right, my honorable mentions. I have in no particular order, as a dad, as a girl dad, Wonder Woman. This is just the opening sequence of that movie with the kids, the girls on this, they're training to become Wonder Women, or whatever. I can't remember what
There are
they're
Amazonians.
Amazonians, that's right. I feel embarrassed now. But anyway, so just being a girl dad, this was just it just felt like this is exactly the movie that Vivian needed to see at the time when she was 5 years old. She was probably a
Five.
little, well, I
That's
mean, she was 5 years old when this movie came out. So she probably didn't see it until she was 6 or 7 years old, but I mean, we definitely she watched and she probably didn't make it even through the whole movie, but that opening sequence, she loved it. And so it was really exciting
The
to
best
show.
Wonder Woman film actually is a Wonder Woman animated movie
Okay.
that came out. I think Kerry Russell did the voice of Wonder Woman.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, that is actually the best Wonder Woman film.
Okay. 2008's Dark Knight, we talked about crime thriller. Wearing a cape, Ledger redefined villainy. Next one was 2005's V for Vendetta, the iconic
Oh, yeah.
mask, political
Yep.
bite, heavier themes.
Another
Probably
Alan
not.
Moore story with same writer as
Yes.
Watchmen, Alan
Yeah.
Moore.
Yep. Yep. Probably not Jameson friendly. The next one was Deadpool, obviously not Jameson friendly, but just hard R humor, not for kids, but just. Just love the humor of these movies. Just perfectly timed. But anyway, Captain America: Winter Soldier.
Excellent.
We talked about this one. Yeah, tight spy thriller. The elevator fight is really
Yep.
the epitome of this movie. Big Hero 6. In 2014. Baymax, that was the introduction of Baymax to our lives, and it just has that Marvel DNA in it, even though it's not a Marvel IP. But then obviously being animated and from Disney, it's family friendly. So Iron Man in 2008, obviously we talked about that and how revolutionary that was for the MCU. And then the last one is the 2010 Kick-Ass movie. It's kind of played on some like almost like anti-heroes, deconstructs the hero cosplay with ultra violence. Probably not kid friendly, but
No.
it was a fun one, kind of along the Deadpool realm. But yeah, those are my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Good choices.
My honorable mentions, most of them, the reason they're honorable mentions is because they're not Jameson appropriate. Again, this is not in any order or anything, but Sin City. I loved Sin City. I
yes.
thought it was an incredible movie. I had Kick-Ass on my list as well. I enjoyed that film, thought it was really fun. 300, also I really enjoyed. I watched that movie solo in the theater. That was the only movie I've ever watched by myself in a theater. Just in case anybody wanted to. And then guess what? On my way home, I got in a car accident. So that's part of the
Oh,
300. And then I actually, this one is Jameson appropriate, probably. I really did actually like The Batman, the new one with,
Robert
what's his
Pattinson.
name? Robert Pattinson. Yeah, I actually
Yeah.
enjoyed it. I
Yep.
thought it was a fun movie. I thought it was
Team
an
Edward.
interesting twist. I thought, what's his name is the Penguin, whose name I'm blanking on, did a really good job too.
Colin Farrell.
So I don't know.
Ah, yes.
I really
He was
enjoyed that
good.
movie. I thought it was a little bit darker, but I thought it was still a good Batman version. And then The Incredibles is one of my favorite movies, but I didn't include it because, again, he's seen the movie many, many times, but I still love that movie. So that's it. That's all I
Cool.
got.
So do you got a good list now? You feel like you got some a good direction to go? Or
I
did
mean, to
you
be
feel
fair, it's
it?
up to him where he wants to
Oh,
go.
of course,
So,
yes. Yep.
I told him that we were doing this episode all about him, and he's like, why?
I love
I
it.
think after all the boobies, he's gonna go with that direction, guys.
There you go. He's gonna go for the boobies. I mean, he is 13 now, so it's coming soon. So,
I love it. All right, so that was comic book movies. That was Rob's topic. So Caleb, you get next. What are we doing next?
well, so last month we had like music albums, like all music month of July. And I feel like August is turning into like all movie month of August,
It
right?
does seem that way.
So my thought was to stick on that same general topic. And I really want to do this, but I'm a little concerned about doing it. And it would be like your top five Star Wars movies. The only concern with that is there's just not a lot of them. You know what I mean? So like I feel like we're gonna like have a lot of overlap. So is that as much fun if we're having a lot of overlap?
Well, maybe it's not so much Star Wars movies, but it's just the Star Wars things in general.
Yeah.
Right? So if
I
you
could
want
do
to
that.
include a TV series or
Animated.
a Christmas special with B.
The
Arthur.
Christmas special. Yeah. Love it. I
Number
love it.
one.
I just want to see how Rob takes this one, which I'm so excited for.
Okay, this may be
Rob's
one of
not a
those
Star
ones.
Wars fan.
I'm not a
No,
Star Wars
this
fan.
is gonna be awesome. I love this.
We're gonna I'm if
No,
you guys thought I had a lot to say this week, just wait till next week.
this will be perfect, Caleb. I love this.
Do that.
Yep.
Okay.
Star Wars properties. Star Wars media. Is that what we call it? Star
I
Wars.
don't, you just do top five Star Wars anything. I don't know. I
We'll
mean,
workshop that.
we could keep it just to movies, but
You say
that again,
boobies?
yes, boobies, just Star Wars.
Sorry.
Star Wars boobies. Number
Chewbacca is number
three.
one.
Carrie Fisher.
I could say number three, Laura Dern. Number four, Carrie Fisher. Number five, the random Ewok
Number six,
out of
C-3PO. He's got nice boobs.
No, what about the one from Spaceballs? No, she
That's
had.
exactly what I
Anyways,
started thinking. With her
so all right,
rollerblades.
I don't think we should just limit ourselves to films because then aren't there
okay,
really
that's
only
fine.
like 12 films? No,
No, I
that was
want to
my.
do it all.
Okay, great. Let's do
Because
it
there's
all
like
then.
the nine Skywalker films, then there's Solo and
Rogue One.
Rogue One, and they didn't do any others.
That's
Everything
it.
else went to TV, right? So then there's really only 11 Star Wars films.
I think that's
Right.
right.
That was my concern. So, but if
Fascinating.
we open it up to anything, it's not necessarily our movie theme, but
Yeah, it
adjacent,
kind of works.
movie
I mean, it
adjacent.
originated out of movies, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, I included Agatha All Along on my one of my, you know, so.
Yeah, very
And
true.
Watchmen the TV series. So I think
Very
we're
true.
fine there, kind of.
Yeah. No, this will be good. No, I was
Yeah.
just kind of struggling with what would we call it, but We could talk about that. But cool. I like that one. So you guys got anything else? If we I think if we're all feeling good, we'll end it right there. And that was a good one. Have a good week, guys.
See you, everybody.
Bye.
For listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com, or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time.